The following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University, California. I am your host, Mr. Sleep, and welcome to Clawing Through the Mask, the show where I look into the true stories that keep you up at night. How would you feel if you moved into a house that was haunted? Would you get out of there? Or would you stay because you actually bought the house and don't want to leave? Would you have an exorcist come? Or would you just let it be? This is where the Amityville Horror movie and book come in handy. For those of you who don't know, the Amityville Horror is a book by American author Jay Anson, published in September of 1977. It is also the basis of a series of film released from 1979 and onward. The book is based on the claims of paranormal experiences by the Lewis family, but has been led to multiple controversies and lawsuits over its truthfulness. On November 13, 1974, Ronald Defoe Jr. shot and killed six members of his family at 112 Ocean Avenue, a large Dutch colonial house situated in a suburban neighborhood in Amityville. On the south shore of Long Island, New York, he was convicted of second-degree murder in November of 1975 and sentenced to six terms of 25 years to life in prison. Defoe died in custody in December 1975. George and Kathy Lewis and their three children moved into the house. After 28 days, the Lewis fled the house, claiming to have been terrorized by paranormal phenomenons while living there. Going into the book describes the house at 112 Ocean Avenue as remaining empty for 13 months after the Defoe murders. In December of 1975, George and Kathleen Lewis bought the house for what was considered to be a bargain price of $80,000. The house was a five-bedroom house and was built in Dutch colonial style and has been distinctive gable roof, you know, like the round kind of barn-like roofs, but they wanted to start fresh with a new property. Kathy actually had three children from a previous marriage, and their three children was Daniel, age of 9, Christopher at the age of 7, and Melissa, also known as Mizzy, at age 5. They also owned a crossbreed Labrador dog named Harry. During their first inspection of the house, the real estate broker told them about the Defoe murders and asked if this would affect their decision. After discussing the matter, they decided that it was not a problem. Would you be living in a house that had a massacre in it? Or not, I wouldn't say it was a massacre, but had a murder in it. The Lewis family moved in the house on December 18, 1975, much to Defoe's family furniture was still in the house because it was included for $400 as part of the deal. A friend of George Lutz learned about the history of the house and insisted on having it blessed. At the time, George was a non-practicing Methodist and had no experience of what this would entail. Kathy was a non-practicing Catholic and explained the process. George knew a Catholic priest named Father Ray who agreed to carry out the house blessing. Going back to the book, the real-life priest Father Ralph J. Pacharo is referred to Father Muchusoko for private reasons, so they wouldn't have any ties or any lawsuits for having him in the book. Father Manchusco was a lawyer, judge of the Catholic court, and a psychotherapist who lived at the local Sacred Heart Rectory. He achieved to perform the blessing while George and Kathy were still unpacking their belongings on the afternoon of December 18, 1975, and went into the building to carry out the rites. When he flicked the first holy water and began to play, he heard a masculine voice demand that he get out. When leaving the house, Father Mukasko did not mention this incident to either George or Kathy. That's kind of a bad thing to do, since he doesn't know how this ghost is going to react to these family moving in. It wasn't until on December 24th, 1975, Father Mukasko called George Lewis and advised him to stay out of the second floor room where he had heard the mysterious voice, the former bedroom of Mark and John Matthew Defoe, that Kathy planned to use as a sewing room. but the call was cut short by static. Following his visits to the house, Father Moscoso allegedly developed a high fever and blisters on his hands similar to stigma. At first, George and Kathy experienced nothing unusual in the house, but talking about their experience subsequently, they reported that they were living in a different house. By mid-January of 1976, another attempt at the house blessing by George and Kathy, they experienced that would turn out to be their final night in that house. The Luis declined to give a full account of the events that took place on that occasion, describing them as too frightening. After getting in touch with Father Moscoso, Luis decided to take some belongings and stay at Kathy's mother's house in nearby Deer Park, New York. Until they sorted something out with the house, you know what I mean? They claim that the phenomena followed them there, which is very common, especially looking at other kind of horror movies based on true stories with ghosts and demons and all that, that just because you leave the house does not mean the ghost or the spirit will stay at the house. They will follow you. With the final scene of the Anson's book describing greenish black slime coming up from the staircase, three children and their dog Harry left 112 Ocean Avenue, leaving all their possessions behind. So yeah, they left literally everything there. Imagine you and your family packing up, not even packing up, just leaving your house. All your belongings are still there, just dipped. That'd be kind of bad. The next day, a mover arrived to remove the possession sent to the lease. He reported no paranormal phenomena while inside the house. So this is one of the claims where people are like, oh, how do you know this is real? If one of the movers didn't claim any weird activity while he was alone in this house. The role of Father Pertaro, also known as Father Manchusco in the book, in the story has been given considerable attention because during the course of a lawsuit about the film surrounding the case in 1970s, the father stated in a statement that his only contact with the Luis family concerning the matter had been by telephone. So he says he, another account says the father did not visit the house but experienced nothing unusual there. But in 1979, Father Pecharo appeared in silhouette describing his experience while being there by blessing the Amityville house during the interview for the television series In Search Of. In the interview, he makes it clear that he did not in fact enter the home and that he was slapped by an invisible force and told to get out by a disembodied voice. So there's a lot of very back and forth when it comes to the priest being there, not being there, only being there once, but being in there when there's no phenomenon. And then we have the where he says he was there and he did in fact hear it. So there's just a lot of back and forth and unclear stuff about this story. And then also another thing that the family claimed was physical damage to locks, doors, and windows were rejected by Jim and Barbara Cromanti. They're the people who bought the house after the Luis for $55,000 in March of 1977. Both of them argued that they appeared to be the original items and have not been repaired. When the Luis family said that there was doors locking and crashes of windows breaking, the family who moved after them said that there was no such thing as repairs since everything still looked intact. The family that moved after them also revealed that the quote-unquote red room was a small closet in the basement that would have been known to the previous owners of the house, Luis, because of its not concealment in any way. The claim made in Chapter 11 of the book that the house was built on site where a local Shinnecock Indians have once abandoned the mental ill and dying was rejected by local Native American leaders. So in the book, they say that they're buried on Indian ground, but this has been rejected by Native American leaders of groups saying that there is no such thing there. So who can really haunt that house at that point since there's no records of any kind of burials where the house is built and there's no such thing as any kind of windows or doors or locks breaking. So this does tie in into the accuracy of Amityville horror continues. The various owners of the house since Luis family left in 1976 have publicly reported no problems while living there. James Cromarty, who bought the house in 1977 and living there with his wife Barbara for 10 years, commented, quote, "Nothing weird ever happened except for people coming by because of the book and the movie," end quote. Now, does this mean that the book is fake? Does that mean that any of the events are fake? I don't know, because I don't want to go there. I watched this movie when I was really young, and I didn't really like it. I don't say I do believe in ghosts, but just imagining people being in that kind of scenario does scare me at times, and I don't think I would ever want to be in that situation. So would I ever visit any kind of horror house, like the Amityville Horror House, the Exorcist Horror House? No, you won't catch me being there. But does this completely defact that the movie is real? I don't think so. I think there could be accounts of some weird things happening there that could have just been, like, again, it's an old house. Could have been just wind, creaks, stuff. I guess the family hearing the story could have imagined some things happening. Like, how many times have you heard, like, weird things happening in your house and you think, oh, it's just probably the wind, or it's just like that. Or you think someone's outside your window because you hear a tapping, but it's just like a tree branch, or like one of your friends is throwing rocks at your windows or something like that. So I don't think the movie's totally a fail at doing what it's doing, scaring people, giving a cool twist on horror. I think the movie succeeded. It really did really well. Compared to The Exorcist, it was pretty good. I think I was a little bit more scared of this movie compared to any kind of other supernatural horror film. I will say the remakes of this one are pretty good compared to other horror remakes, but I don't think, compared to more later horror movies, it's still an old movie, but I don't think it's as scary as another horror film that we're going to be talking about later. So stay in tune for that.